Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
When preparing for battle, as far as modern armies are concerned, they're concerned about making sure that they have sufficient offensive weaponry and ammunition. But also, that they have a strong defensive capability. Shrapnel proof helmets, bulletproof vests, camouflage uniforms. In addition, soldiers have all kinds of things given to them, phones and radios and computers, so that they can call up air forces, results of which are devastating. They preposition planes and vehicles and tanks, come to the aids of those who call upon them. They preposition food and water, as well as medical supplies, so that the army can attack without fear of what's at its back. May sound a little bit familiar. Where we have been weathering storms in our life and fighting back against them. And you would see that FEMA and the Red Cross and other people preposition all kinds of equipment so that they can fight back against the ravages of storm. Each of us face storms in our life for which we need to be prepared to fight back. This last week, the President of the United States, Governor of Texas, told us to pray for those who are suffering in the fight against the winds, the rain, the flooding. We need to pray for those who risk their lives trying to help other people, for our first responders, for their families, for the many people who are going out into the storm to save lives. Because they try the best way they know how to give all the glory to God. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We know that many people are suffering today. They're suffering in Mexico because of the terrible fuel and outages of power that they have because of the earthquake that struck Mexico. We pray for the people who are in Milar and they're fighting for a homeland. All their villages have been burned behind them. We pray for those who are in the conflict today with ISIS and those who would destroy us. Father, we pray for those who are in the eye of the storm of Irma because they are suffering at this very moment, life-threatening things. So, Father, we ask that you would be with those and you would be in the storm with them. Father, we ask that Jesus' words may be true, that peace, be still, may be heard over the winds and the waves, because you are right in the midst of the storm with us. Whether it is cancer we face and war against, or heart disease, or any other thing upon this earth, Father, we know that you are the champion of our hearts, and that you can defeat any enemy. And so we ask that you would do what only you can do, that you would bring peace, cast out fear, give us boldness to face the storms that are in our lives, the storms that come without warning sometimes. Sometimes the storm comes with fear as the warning. Father, cast out that fear. Let us see the world as you see it. place of habitation that you created for all the world to enjoy. May we be the beneficiaries as well as those we pray for. Father, may we see the glory of the Lord come upon this land. Destroy every ethnic background that we hold in disrespect. Destroy all the walls that are between us. When you say peace, may we truly be at peace. May we see it not just for the day and for the hours that follow the storm, but may it go with us and all of our life here on earth. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Going to read Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul, we find, is in chains. He's in custody. He's in prison when he writes this letter to the new creatures, the new creation of God. He writes to the new creatures, the Christians that he finds in Ephesus, this wonderful, wonderful letter. He needs for each of us to put on the whole armor of God. Paul is interested in spiritual armaments, not just knives and things which he can see around him, but he is interested in being able to defeat the enemy. And first of all, we must recognize who the enemy truly is. The enemy, as the Holy Spirit describes him in clear and precise language, is the devil that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It is the character of Satan to kill, steal, and destroy. We must acknowledge this so that we have the tools to defeat him. In fact, we kill to keep our attention on him. We may not use prayer to call up the spiritual powers that can subdue him. Those in the fight today need to understand that we struggle not against flesh and blood, as Paul says, but against the powers of the air. During the destruction of a hurricane, we find that the media is focused on things that people have lost. And they want to replace those things. Even good intentions can sometimes lead us away from the will of God. God, as we have been told, lifts his lifts his hands from us sometimes when we are disobedient children and allows the winds to blow against us, allows the water to come against us. But we should understand that he does this so that our struggles can end up to glorify him, because he allows us to go through these wicked things, whether they be physical or whether they be mental or whether they be storms that we can see on a satellite or storms that we cannot see. He allows this to happen to correct us or to perfect us. And God is in charge of that. But God is engaged. He uses the struggles of life to do his will. He wants us to find, each of us, to find a relationship with him, a dependence upon him, a surrender to him. Because he makes sure that we realize that the government, with all of its wonderful things that it can do, cannot restore human life. Only God can do that. He breathes into us the breath of life. We need to trust him for everything we have or need. It is the reason that Paul wants each of us, each new believer, to understand that as we go spiritually, we will be attacked. That is one of God's ways of edifying us, so that during our passage through this world, we suffer many things. And as each one of us suffers, we find that we have the inner strength to wage war against the thing that would bind us. Therefore, we should put on the whole armor of God, knowing that the tax will increase. Paul no doubt looks at the Roman soldier chained to him. He looks at the man and he says to himself, this is a great illustration of what I want the Christians in Ephesus to understand, the Christians everywhere, the Christians in Plano to understand, the Christians who are followers of Jesus Christ to understand. It is essential that this soldier have a belt on, the belt of truth, Paul calls it, without speaking, knowing and doing the truth. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Let everyone hear the truth from your lips, not the exaggeration, not the self-promotion, but the truth. May we understand that only one gets the glory, and his name is Yahweh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the only one. And we cannot span the middle of the Christian service without the belt of truth as a foundation. We cannot be armed with the essential armaments without that belt. The belt holds up the sword and allows each various soldier to maintain the foundation that will not only take us through the attack, but allow us to counterattack. And so the belt of truth is number one. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is not like a bulletproof vest, which should be called a bullet diminishing vest, because there is no real true vest that can hold up against the armaments that come against them. The breastplate gives a certain protection, but it is not enough to win the battle. The battle of righteousness, of a right relationship with God. If I have that, you can have everything else. If I have a right relationship with God, if I do not get ahead of God or behind God, but am in step with God, that is what we want. That is what we desire. Third, we have to have the shoes or sandals to allow us to proclaim the good news of peace to the world. It tells us to go, and we need shoes to do that because the flesh would be torn and weak going down the rocky paths of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that we need the shield of faith. The fourth thing that Paul enunciates is the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the devil. What are the fiery darts? They are the temptations we face every day. We need the shield of faith. We need to use the shield of faith to protect us against the wiles of the devil. We need that wonderful shield that God alone provides. You cannot provide it by just staying away from people. I heard a pastor today on television say that, hey, listen, don't be around people that are weak. Be around people who are vulnerable. Don't be around people who are addicted. Don't be around people or various kinds of people. You want to be around only good people, successful people, people, you know, as though people had the power to do the things that we need done. Only God has that power. Five, we need to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet allows each of us to know that we will prevail, that we will prevail, that not even death can keep us in the ground, that we shall prevail, that that helmet of salvation that Jesus died for on the cross gives us something that is unique in all the world. It gives us the power to hold up our heads and see clearly through that mask all the things that we have before us. You need to know that we can prevail, that even death cannot keep us in the ground. Jesus, who has been our champion and is our champion now, who has defeated death and the devil, who is our champion. If we are like Him, if we train to be like Him, if we put on the whole armor of God as He had, then we too shall be victorious for Him in this life. Six, the sword of the Spirit is in our hand to use because it represents every spiritual weapon. The sword can destroy the devil's defenses. It can crush his head. The sword of the Spirit of God is stronger than any armament there is known to man. The North Koreans think that they can intimidate us by coming up with a nuclear bomb. Let me tell you something. The sword of the Spirit is stronger than the nuclear bomb any man can create. None of these armaments alone can defeat our foes. Devil's plans to destroy your relationship with God. So in the end, you need to stand. Now here is a very important thing that people do not understand. When you turn your back upon Christ, upon the teachings of Christ, and you go it alone, what you're doing is you are facing around this way instead of that way, and you are unprotected. And the wages of sin are death. Now we need to understand that. We need to understand that we have to stand, that we're not to run. It doesn't say run into battle. It doesn't say to retreat from battle. It says that we're to stand. Sometimes the hardest thing it is for us to stand, to just stand on what we know, stand on what we feel, stand on what we have experienced from God, stand upon the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. We need only to stand against the wiles of the devil, and he will flee from us. We need to understand that we should always stand for something or we fall for anything. Take a stand means confronting Satan's presence in your life. He is there. He is here with us, always trying to do his very best to destroy us, to steal from us our reputation and everything else about us, to try and get in between the armor so that he can find a soft spot he can attack. His whole character is to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care. We fight against an enemy whose power is in the air. And so we need to pray for God's help in times of trouble. We need to look to Him. We need to keep focused on Jesus and not focused on the attack. One of the things I was told in karate when I was studying for a long time, my father, I'm sure he thought that he was doing that to protect me against him, because he was kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When he drank, he was Mr. Hyde. Many times I have fought physically with my earthly dad. I have also fought to my shame with our Heavenly Father. I have fought. It doesn't mean that I have fought always the good fight, but I have been distracted from the good fight to the evil fight. One thing you learn when people are coming against you is to stand. To take a stand. And then you can fight from that stance. You can counterpunch. In the Greek, stand is steel. What we would pronounce as steel. It means that the key to success implies a mental, physical, and spiritual toughness, which we call faith. We call that spiritual toughness faith. Faith that allows the soldiers to hold their ground against the devil's advances, no matter how loud they are, no matter what it looks like we're about to be trampled to death. It looks as though there's no way out, and yet God provides a way where there is no way. It is the way of His cross. He provided it for us. We hold our stance against the devil's advance while setting the stage for a counter-attack. You can't run. You can't turn. Because your protection is not on your back. You know, when you turn from the devil and you're dressed in the full armor of God and you face him and he lifts up that visor and sees you inside instead of Jesus Christ, he's going to come after you. He's not going to be afraid of you. But for the will of God, if you have the righteousness, the right relationship with God, then He will be with you all the way. If you have faith in God, then you can say to the devil and to all of the things that come with him, be gone and cast into the sea, and they will retreat from you. They retreat because you cannot defeat the undefeated. You cannot defeat our Lord. You know, Paul wants each of us to know that there is victory for the fight against the devil, against the powers of the air. There is victory. God gives us the victory. He raises the dead from life and gives them heaven. You know, recently I watched a thing by the Royal Shakespeare Company. And they had a whole bunch of people who had played Hamlet come out. It was kind of funny. And they said, to be or not to be, that is the question. So that was all they got out. And the next person would come out and say, no. To be or not to be. And the next person would come out and say, no, you don't stress that. The question. Drop on that. Let that drop in your voice. The question. Be or not to be. That is the question. Somebody else would come out. All of them had a different view of how you should speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you. They all had the desire to do the impression that they wanted to do. We can't do that with God. If we don't speak what He puts in our mouth, we do not speak for Him. If He does not hear us proclaim from our heart that we love Him and give Him honor above all, then we are not going to have results that we want. But only when we have faith, when we still ourselves and stand because of our faith is on the solid rock on which I stand. Now, the Lord carefully prepares each of His troops. He assures us that each of us has His spiritual protection and ultimate victory. He is, in fact, in the storms with us. He is in the battle with us. He is with us all the time. When the darts of the devil are aimed at us and his temptations come, Jesus is the shield. He takes them for us. He is the one who guides our sword. He is the one who is our breastplate, because He is righteousness itself. He is the one who is our helmet, for He is salvation. He provides and executes authentic faith in His leadership. And so we have many people who are facing hardships today. We have people that are facing cancer today. We have people that are facing heart conditions today. We have people who are facing all manner of temptations today. We're in the midst of the fight. But glory be to God that where we are, there He is in the midst of us. He is our champion. He is the one who loves us so much He gave His life for us. When we were thirsty, He gave us the living water to drink. Jesus wants all of us, each of us, to be cared for as He cares for us. And that puts the burden on each of us. It means that each of us must face all the hardships that come. We have a Down syndrome person in our life. That needs to be a commitment of our life. We have a person who loves us but has some disease afflicting them. They need to be the center of our attention. But we need to turn over everything to God in prayer and say truly, not my will, but thine be done. When we surrender to that, we have it all. All we have to do is receive it. Because God Himself will put the armor upon us. Not have to search for it, not have to look for it in the Bible or any place else. God will provide it. God is our provision. He is our place in time of struggle. He is our protection. He is our everything.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.